Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Today.
Don't stop snapping. Ooh, we got a killer episode today. Very Guardians focused, mayhaps off the patch. Also, we got Cannonball, and we are looking ahead to War Machine. No top 10 this week, but maybe in the future. And then we're going to be dreaming up our next backseat gaming deck as well. Oh boy, my headline for the Cannonball stream was, is this the best worst card of a season ever? Yeah. Do you catch my vibe? What do you think?
I get it.
Yeah.
No, Cannonball's fun. Like, he's good, but like if someone asks you in chat or like in your stream or whatever, and they're like, should I get him? Should I drop my four cubes? Or no, not cubes, crap.
My 6K tokens.
Yeah. And you're like, you could pass him.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
He's fun. He's pretty good. Real quick, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have a YouTube channel. I keep forgetting to tell you guys every single week. Only 33 subs. Let's get that number bigger. Come on. If you want to watch the full episodes, all the episodes now, just like on Spotify, all that good stuff, we have the video forms of the episode in their completion on YouTube as well. And you can see here as well how to play Thanos. That is a Patreon exclusive bonus episode that you get you eventually get access to those as well. We're going to keep them only on YouTube and Patreon. So after about 2 to 4 weeks of living on Patreon, they become live to the public. Check them out on YouTube. So there's a reason for you to go sub. You could just be like, well, I already listened to you guys on Spotify. Well, if you want the bonus episodes, get to YouTube. Anyway, let's talk about, I guess, a little bit of Cannonball since we're here.
I love Cannonball. I do think he's a little bit better than Pixie. I've cooled on Pixie as the more the season has progressed. But Cannonball, he's got the Legion energy of just stealing cubes. Like my win rate, thoroughly average. My cube rate, it's good, Brad. It's really good. This guy is a monster.
Let's take a gander.
The ability to just sack that best card from their lane in exchange for 8 power of yourself. I've flipped massive, massive point deficits on lanes that my opponents never thought possible. Like,
we have no
data. I kind of like him
yet.
In a lot of these decks better than Eliath because he works well from both ahead and behind. It's kind of a general control. Here we go. Oh no,
Surfer. He's the best in Surfer right now.
That was my discovery. It was what the auto deck will give you. I immediately did a couple vetoes to give me, you know, playable cards like Hope Summers. And it plays actually very well. I tried then Junk. It didn't do so hot. I tried another like hybrid deck. Didn't do so hot. Came back to Surfer. Now I've refined my Junk deck a little bit and I play that instead. I know Lambie did really well with it in Conquest, but over the course of his whole stream, he was like, it's just because I'm a good player, not because Cannonball's a good card. And it's like, oh, we get it, Lambie. That's cute.
Cannonball, the card Galactus needed.
No, the Galactus thing is just thoroughly win more. Anytime people say, like, this card is good with Galactus, it's like, yeah, but does it set Galactus up? No, it doesn't. It's just to capitalize when you're already winning.
Yeah, it's win just, more. It's just, I already have priority with I don't have priority with Galactus, so I can't Eliath, so I'm going to Cannonball instead to kill a thing that pops up.
Right.
Which, I mean, to be fair, that's still really good. And I think Galactus is a fairly solid home for him. I don't think it's the end-all be-all home, but I don't mind it. I don't mind him having, if he ends up being a mainstay in Galactus list, because it's just the simplicity of it of, okay, I Galactus'd. Do I have the Eliath play or the Cannonball play? And either one you're happy with and you can win.
It's
I like that. I like the end game aspect. You just need better setup game for your Galactus.
All you got here is Electro and Wave, which I guess it works. The Goblins already play a little bit into Cannonball. Pro X is an interesting play, but it's just capitalizing on Daredevil here, I suppose. I would really love to see a Polaris pop up, but the Polaris seems to be, and Debris are like Cannonball's biggest friends, but obviously Galactus cannot run Debris.
You think, until you do. There was a list not that long ago that did run Debris with Galactus. It was like a fake out Junk deck.
Yeah.
And it ran Polaris to like clear one of the rocks out of the way. Or no wait, hold on. It ran Ghost Spider, I think, to pull debris, I suppose. Okay.
Bodies,
I doubt
bodies,
it was good.
No. Anything Galactus is not that good right now, but I mean to focus a little bit more on Cannonball. He does have a lot of flexibility. And he's a genuine, to me, genuine replacement for Shang, if you're okay going up to a five cost. Because he brings so much power on his own body. And then you can, in times, get the destruction. And at other times, you're just looking for that movement. As long as you have a way of that's locking in this one lane, you can be very happy.
What I want to try tomorrow for my stream is, because we spent today, we'll go over the OTA in a moment, spent today going over like OTA stuff and try out new OTA things with the decks. Yeah. I really want to try a good stuff version of Cannonball that features like Miss Marvel and then also Black Bolt and Stature. Because Teddy, as you know, one big reason that I loved my Infomaniac deck was because I had Black Bolt, Stature, and Legion, and being able to go Black Bolt on 5, Stature, Legion on 6 was always a very strong play. I feel very similarly about Cannonball and Stature on 6. It can't be bad. There's no shot it can be bad. So
the shot that is bad is in the time when, like, oh, if I move this, then I'll just lose another lane, or like taking those 50-50s, like he has to move it to the right lane. Like, that's your problem scenario, but yeah.
Right. But like,
then you just play Shang and Stature, right?
Yeah, but that's nowhere near as fun.
No, it's not. Cannonball, the fun factor is awesome. But also, okay, can I cry a little bit?
Sure.
Why did they take away his ability to always leave a rock? Now he only leaves a rock when he destroys, which makes it useless because you're not destroying on turn 5. On turn 6, you're destroying, but then it's at a point in the game where it will have no factor on any future decisions. It's like, it's just, is it just a thematic vestige of like, oh, Cannonball is supposed to leave rocks?
Yeah, it feels a little weird. You would think it'd be the other way around. If it was one or the other, it'd be move, replace with rock, and or destroy, and that's it.
Sure.
Right?
Because then it plays into the junk game plan of like, oh, I moved it to a different location, but I still left the body where I attacked, which is seemed really desirable.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, this card's way worse than I thought it was.
Yes.
Just because you don't leave the rock all the time.
I mean,
maybe
I would pay like 3 power off the body, maybe even more, to get that always give a rock.
I don't think you need to. I think you could make it a 5/7 to get away with it. I also think you could just keep it at a 5/8 and it could also still do that and it'd be fine.
I mean, I don't want to have like the Legion story happen again where Legion is just every single deck and Cannonball just being every single deck. But
just because you leave a rock behind doesn't make this an absolute banger for every deck.
It doesn't, but it does make it an absolute banger for junk.
Sure. That's fine. Actual junk decks are bad. Like real actual junk decks, not just playing Sentry and Nihilus and Hood.
Yeah,
but I mean, actually going like Debris, you know, Man Thing, Viper, and like Hazmat, Luke Cage. Those are bad.
The Hazmat Luke Cage kind of works, and actually it even worked in that Sarah Surfer variant because you've got the Debris, and then you've got like Hazmat Luke Cage to combo off that,
Sarah.
And then. Yeah, the Toxic Sarah with Cannonball actually is quite fun, and they have Surfer as a point scorer, so it's a cool idea, depending on how much you want to lean into the Toxic Sarah idea, but it's also almost Toxic all Sarah. X-Men right now for the imbalance patch, which is helping a little bit. I mean, not that list, but the list that I was running.
I gotcha. Yeah, I mean...
That one doesn't even have Surfer. What the heck?
Because this is actual Toxic Sarah control with Shang-Chi, Miss
Enchantress. Yeah, Debris, Hazmat.
Yeah.
I would probably cut Mobius, but, you know, to each their own.
Chu Min cut Mobius. He's a house.
Yeah.
Just tell the Thanos player you don't get Mockingbird.
So Thanos doesn't care. Maybe he does now. Do we want to transition into the OTA, or do you have anything left to say on Cannonball?
Nope. Fun card. You don't need to get him, though. Okay. It's if you find him fun or interesting.
Yeah.
All right. OTA. This is part one, thanks to Snapzone, courtesy of them. Part two. Let's get the part two out of the way, all right? Because that's easier to explain.
That's the easier one. Guardians are better.
Yeah, pretty much. They made all of them plus 4. They're all consistent across the board. No matter what, their ability is plus 4. And Groot's a 3/7 now, Drax is a 4/9, Sard's a 2/6, a 1/5 Raccoon, and Gamora stays the same at a 5/12, but her base power is increased to 8. So massive. She was always the good across one. The board. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She didn't need to go to 5/13 or anything like that. She's perfectly fine where she is. The buff to the other ones, a gaining of one power across the board for all the other ones, is incredible.
You really see the power creep in Rocket and Star-Lord at the 1 and 2 cost price point. Like, they had to have this to maintain any viability.
Agreed. Yeah, now Star-Lord's a 2/6, which I think that's very good. So I think really the winners of this primarily are Rocket, Star-Lord, right? Because, yes, you can run Groot and run Drax. I ran a full Guardians list with, like, Jean Grey and, like, stuff like that, like Storm. It was fun. Yeah. It worked well.
Did you use Odin?
No Odin. Didn't really have ways to fit it. Now that
Grandmaster, Absorbing Man.
Now, if you want to do an As Guardians of the Galaxy with, like, Thor, Beta Ray Bill, Jane, and stuff like that, that's fun, too. We can cook that up as well.
Okay, we can cook.
But for now, we just did like a kind of pseudo lockdown one.
I look,
Groot and Drax feel way better. There's no mistaking that. A 4/9 is good. A 3/7 solid. Like, that's perfectly fine. However, these guys up here can be bounced with Beast. Rocket can be bounced twice with Falcon as well. And being able to retrigger this and like just getting one hit in Star-Lord and being able to reposition it somewhere else. Even if you don't get the hit again, that's perfectly fine. It's like with Medusa, right?
He's a 1/6 stat stick that's coming over. Yeah.
That could be a 1/10.
Right.
And Rocket, it'd be a 1/9. Or a 0/9, essentially.
Is there a world where we play this with like Hawkeye Medusa and it's just like...
Yes. I actually played Medusa in this deck that I was running today.
You did, okay.
I was like, because I was like, I need one more 2 cost. And I was like, let's just do that. That way, if I don't have Star-Lord, I have a guaranteed 2/5 mid. Right?
Yeah, now I'm thinking, is there a world where bounce could go like so fast through turn 5 that then you just cap off with a Eliath or something? That would be nuts.
I think so. Yeah, Hawkeye, Falcon, Beast, you know, the stuff that just like cares about hitting something, and like Medusa, like you said. You could even do like Black Swan in there if you want to fit in another couple of one drops. That way you can just have a turn 6 replay those other one. Like, you can go on turn 5 Black Swan, Beast, pick up your or Falcon and pick up your one drops, have them cost 0, and then go Eliath and all that.
Right. You know?
Also, I feel Bast hitting Rocket now is insane.
Yeah, the buff on Bast for both of these guys, really nice.
Right.
Even Groot plays underneath Bast nerf now, so he would just be like fine on like a high end. There was a world in my bounce deck where I even ran Ironheart, because I mean, Ironheart on Bast, let's go. And hey, maybe I bounce her, maybe I don't care, but it's still like just more stats on cards that I am bouncing. So,
yeah. No, I think this is amazing. It's what I've been wanting. I literally said, I know I've said it in the past on this cast, I've said it on Snap on Ego, I've said it on my stream. I'm like, just can we just give a single point buff to all the Guardians across the board? I don't care whether it's their base power or whatever. Like, they should be higher.
I'm a little surprised that they didn't lean into these imbalance stuff and just say get a Guardians tag similar, like play 3 Guardians plus 1 on all Guardians, you know?
Yeah, but they can't have that be a permanent thing. Like, it just won't work.
Why not?
Because it's too goofy and like it's not easy to remember. It's weird for new players. I'll give you an example. Okay. I play a lot of Rainbow Six Siege. It's my favorite shooter of all time.
Yep.
It's a great game. There are operators in the game. It's like a regular hero kind of like game, like Overwatch, right? They have abilities. You get to choose them. They have their own loadout based on their abilities, own weapons, all that good stuff. Or Valorant, if you want. Or you can think about League of Legends or Smite, except it's a shooter. Anyway, there are some operators that used to have like lore based abilities that they got rid of because it was weird for new players to understand. And it's like, why did that happen? One example is there's an operator named Zofia, and she used to have a withstand ability. And what that means is if she got shot, that wasn't a headshot, you go into a down but not out state. Like, you're on the ground, you get picked up by a teammate. Well, Zofia had an ability called Withstand, where you pull down X, she can pick herself up because she's so like motivated or whatever based on the lore and driven that she can get back up and have one health left over and she can continue the fight.
Gotcha.
Cool ability, But in practicality, especially because it happened in a pro league match where someone won like a 1v3 at the end because they didn't realize they were Zofia and they picked themselves up. And after that, they're like, maybe we shouldn't have this in the game. Another one is an operator named Dokubi does like a phone call thing that calls all the phones and the operators. And one of the defenders named Echo, because in the lore, helped her build her software that hacked people's phones. He was immune to it because he knew the software. Okay. But that doesn't make sense.
Stuff like
from
that
gameplay
is really finicky, right? But I mean, I don't know. This one, like, people know who the Guardians are if you know about Marvel.
Yeah, but how do you implement? Does every Guardian have an extra tag that says also if you play another two Guardians, they get plus whatever? Because that just looks really bad from like a templating standpoint and a formatting. As like visual prettiness.
I guess you also have the mess of like, oh, but this character should be a Guardians, or like, who's the core Guardians? Like, is Thor a Guardian? Is
Thor technically expanded. Is a Guardian?
Right, but I don't want him to get the plus one.
Adam Warlock is technically a Guardian,
who also got changed.
Amazing segue.
I'm pretty happy with all of these Guardian changes.
Captain Marvel's technically a Guardian, by the way.
Okay. Yep. So. I guess I've answered my own question. We should not implement this.
Also, if you want to get even deeper into it, you can go in the Fantastic Four. Spider-Man's technically a Fantastic Four member.
Yeah. No, Spider-Man's in every team, isn't he?
Yeah, quite literally. The Young Avengers,
He's with the X-Men 2 at some point, right?
I don't know if he's officially brought in as a member. I think it was maybe an honorary thing. He helps out. I know he was officially a Fantastic Four member at one point.
Right.
Also, Midnight Suns, he's in. Yep. I'm pretty sure he's been part of the Defenders before because it's Hell's Kitchen and that's his domain.
Yeah, that's him. Midnight Suns Spidey looks so good.
It does. Let's get into the patch. So first thing, Captain Marvel, back to a 4-5. Teddy, we're back.
Winding road we've taken.
Good
to
again.
Still be bad.
It's funny how she had her like 2 weeks in the sun.
Yeah.
Like her time frame of being like the best thing to be doing in Marvel Snap was shorter than Black Bolt statures.
It was.
It was like a week.
So quick. Man.
It's like the power creep. She should have. This change should have happened months ago.
Yeah, and if they actually wanted her to be playable, she should be 4-6 at least.
Yeah, I agree. We can't have a 3-6 movable thing with Zabu now, Teddy. You just can't.
No, it's just because of the S tier of S tiers.
Right, yes, yes.
This is our Glenn, by the way. Glenn, if you're watching, we'd love to have you on.
Yes, please.
We know you're smarter than us.
I mean, it's his job, and I don't envy him in any way, shape, or form. He has one of the hardest jobs in gaming in general, balancing your game of any variety, especially card games.
Especially a mobile card game like this one. Snap chews up.
And the amount of people that like complained. Let me just say this real quick. The amount of people that have complained today about Adam Warlock, Psylocke, and Apoc in particular. And I'm going to rapid fire these real quick. Okay. Just the whole thing, and we'll go over them in a moment. Adam Warlock's now a 5-5, same ability. Psylocke is a 2-1, same ability. Apoc, same ability, down to a 6-6, lost a couple points of power. And
this
then Mind
was getting
Stone,
good.
Yep, the big one is now a 2-1. It is the first stone to not be a 1 cost. It looks really weird. It feels really wrong, but I understand why they did it. Now,
no more Mind Stone on 1 and Snap.
Yeah, that's true. And a little harder to high roll the double stone thing for Mockingbird, but I still think she should be a 6-10. But anyway, I saw a lot of complaints about these three cards, Adam Warlock, Psylocke, and Apoc in particular. And a lot of them saying, essentially, do they not play their game? Is what I always see, right?
Okay.
So for Adam Warlock, they're like, okay, we knew that him being a 5-4 was bad. So you really think adding one more thing of power for this is going to make him good? Duh, a 5 cost is never going to be good. First off, to those people that say that, understand they're trying to gather data on a thing that they're trying to accomplish with the card. They just want to see what happens. They've already said they know they're going to revisit Adam Warlock after the 5-4 thing. It's probably going to be true on this one as well. They want to see what they can do. And they've already said they can't just slap a on reveal draw card on them, because even at 5 cost, almost every deck, it's going to be hard to not run him, especially combo decks.
Yeah, it's such a dangerous ability. Like, you don't want Adam Warlock to be good. I understand there's people out there that are fans of Adam Warlock, but in terms of like general health of the game, you don't want this to be a top card.
Correct. Next thing is Psylocke. People are like, well, she was bad and underplayed in decks because of the 2-1, and now she's definitely only going to see play in Thanos, so you're nerfing Thanos by hitting another card. And it's like, well, yeah, that's how game design works. Thanos, and they also hit a stone, so they did two things. They hit two parts of the axis on Thanos, and they just hit Time Stone recently, so their energy costs like that has been brought down. The deck already runs Hope, so they're also trying this in Psylocke. Glenn has already said he's certain. It wasn't even a maybe up in the air thing. He said, I am certain this will not be the last adjustment we make on Psylocke. I think she's eventually just going to get phased out of the energy thing, get a full rework at this point.
Wow.
Because think about it. What makes her unique anymore? She's now just a 2-1 that gives +1 energy, where they can't increase her cost, right? Because then she's has this weird overlap with Corvus, Electro, and Hope at 3 cost. Yeah,
you can't have them all at 3 cost. You could bring her up to a more expensive card that maybe gave a higher energy burst.
Like, what, like make her a 5 cost, give +4, yeah. +3?
Yeah, something like crazy. Okay,
that could be interesting, but then ramping into it seems a little scary. With things like Hope Summers, right?
Let's do it.
The other side is
snap now.
Yeah. The other side is you can't make her a 1 cost because you just make her a better, another version of Time Stone, essentially. The original one, that was the problem.
A universal Time Stone is just too much.
So at 2 cost, she's already kind of conflicting with Zabu and Ravonna in a way. I know it's not the exact same thing because it's energy cheat versus cost reduction, but the decks that would have played her before, like negative, have already dropped her in the case of just being like, yeah, we just run Zabu and Ravonna.
Right.
So I think what's best for the character eventually in this card in general is just to give a little bit of a rework to just a new ability, new effect. I don't know what that would be. I'm not a huge enough fan of just X-Men stuff in general to be able to give you a great definitive answer on what the lore and flavor of the rework could be. If you want to let us know down below in the comments, if you're watching YouTube, by the way, you can do that. Let us know because I want to see what she could be. That'd be really cool.
I'm pretty sure she does like portals and stuff too. So,
right.
She's got like a broad power range. But yeah, like, I don't know. The 2 cost was hitting a sweet spot. And then her danger was always any like high priority 5 cost, getting to play it early. The Pro X was like the most egregious one. But now that he's been nerfed down, yeah, she's still
and
lethal.
And Ravonna fills
access.
The slot of ramping into Professor X.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The same way.
Renslayer's just waiting, like, one day I'll be good.
Yeah. The last one is Apoc, and this was the most egregious one of people complaining in the subreddit, Discord, and even the Ask the Team section on the Discord, saying, oh, wow, you nerfed the discard card. It's not even the problem. Hela's the problem. Hela has a barely 50% win rate and an okay cube rate. And frankly, Glenn even said this. He said, actually, Apoc has a much better win rate and a slightly better cube rate. The only thing they're even close on is cube rate. The reason Hela has a good cube rate is because she's an 8-cube stealer, because you dumb fucks. Only one I'm going to curse on this episode. You stay in. When you see they're going to play Hela, you watch them discard Hulk and Infinite and Giganto, and they snap on turn 5. And you're like, I wonder what they could be playing.
But what if they don't
six.
Have it this time?
Yeah, what if it's a bluff? What if it's not?
Yeah.
The whole point of the game is essentially poker in space.
It costs you 2 cubes to say it's not. It costs you 8 cubes to say it is.
Right.
Yeah, and it's tough.
Apoc is the more consistent version of the deck. Draco is a very good card. The buff to Meek's great. And they're not going to just revert the Meek change because I don't think it's a bad change. I think it's good. Apoc shaving a little power in the top end, I think, is the great correct adjustment. You don't want to change the meat and potatoes of the deck, right?
Yeah, I would have been even on like, they could change the interaction where Dracula would take the base power of Apoc instead of the buff power of Apoc, but because they've always stuck with Dracula taking the buffed power of Apoc after that final discard, then it just makes sense that he starts out a little bit weaker.
Right.
Yeah. No, this deck is still good, and at 2 points down, it's still winning. Obviously, there's some tight margin games, but generally your game plan against this deck is when you see the Dracula come down, if you don't have control for it or some like tricksy, oh, I'm going to give you a Widow's Bite on the final turn kind of thing, you don't even want to fight that Dracula lane. You know that's lost. Like, the Apoc Dracula combo puts down too much pain.
Yeah. I just... Is it bad that I want like another version of Spider-Ham again, like that original version? Like, I don't know. Is there a way to make it? Because there's no way to really counter Apoc. Because the second they discard Apoc, he goes to the right side anyway. So Spider-Ham's not going to hit him unless you catch him on turn one, luckily.
Right.
So, because he's not one of those cards like other six drops, like Hela, where it's like the longer the game goes on, the more likely he shifts over to the left.
Yep.
What if they changed it to where his text was when he got discarded, he just came back to the left-hand side when he regenerated?
Oh, so he's a guaranteed ham hit? Hang on. What's his Red Guardian's updated text?
Red Guardian is a 3-3 that says afflict the lowest power card, -2, and then take away its text.
And remove its text, which might happen to be Dracula a lot of the time. This could be
right.
Your more multi-purpose discard counter coming out very soon, because obviously Lady Deathstrike is not it, even though she does counter, and some of the tools
she
like
needs
Master
to be a
Mold.
Cost.
Yeah, exactly.
But they can't, like, because Zabu. See, that I hate talking about this every single Teddy.
Right, well,
I'm
then don't do
it.
No, Brad, just don't do it. Just cut it. Red Guardian's in front of you. What does Red Guardian do for you, Brad?
He gets rid of Dracula.
He does. He gets rid of Dracula. So, like, help is on the way, I guess. Because yeah. I could see you getting to work this. It's at a price point and a utility level that I think is kind of just good cards level. If you have an open slot, you could think about running Red Guardian as opposed to any of the other fringe cases that do counter discard but don't really counter discard.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, discard's really good. It's very consistent now, especially with like Proxima and stuff like that. It just has better hits. The targeted hand discard is very good.
Well, this
like
was
Blade.
Your climb to infinite this season, right?
Yeah, and we went crazy with it. Let me look real quick. Double check the stats.
Have you played it post infinite, or was that just kind of the grind?
I haven't had time to play post infinite just because we did all these other ones. Like, we went, I did this one at worst. It's a 5-9. Originally, I had 29-9 in the deck.
Oh no.
But I stopped it for arrow. We did okay. 12-9. Went 11-14. Negative win rate with this list, but I got that positive cube rate, baby.
Guardians, baby.
Plus one cube. Hey, that's incredible. 0.004. Damn, I'm so good.
Yeah.
The junk one was not very good. The junk version.
That one took some warming up too from me, but now I'm in love with it. I play a slightly different version, but I can shoot it too if you're interested.
I found Dazzler to be bad. I realized that I don't feel my side enough, but I like Mojo as a thought.
Yeah.
But maybe. Where'd it go? Where was it? Oh, I gotta just expand.
You bumped it off. Yeah.
Current season, I guess. There it is. We went 39-16. That's what it was.
Yeah, there we go. There's the stat line. So yeah, like, this deck is very powerful. It just puts down a lot of pain.
Yeah. If we just had another way, and frankly, I don't. The other thing was, like, before with old Leech with an on reveal, if you had priority, you could go Leech on 5, flip up before their MODOK does, hit their Apoc, MODOK swipes the hand away, and they get no regeneration.
But now Leech doesn't even hit Apoc.
Right. So I don't like that Leech change, by the way. I kind of just...
No, I don't either.
I don't even know how you'd change that.
We just bring him back. Like, I don't... He wasn't... That one was like a head-scratcher for me because I was not seeing him very often. I know he's a big feels-bad to play against when he actually goes off and like wrecks your deck, but... I mean,
people
just like they said in
leave.
The notes is that he was a release valve when some specific decks got out of hand until they would patch and they would nerf those decks but leave Leech. So,
but now because... And they said that they wanted to make him a more narrow target because on reveals were what he hit the most anyway, which
make him
statistically
a four
speaking... Yeah, exactly. Also, by making him a more narrow target for like a specific thing, he no longer can be that release valve because people won't run him because he's too niche.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem.
So you need to make him cheaper to be like, I can play him early, and you have a decision matrix on, like, do I just set him up for the final turn, or do I want to set him up early to be able to cripple their mid game, but they're going to draw new stuff, and I know that they're going to, like, fill out their hand. Like, that's interesting to me. But the Leech as he is now is like, I'm never even going to touch it. I'll play Sandman 100 times over instead.
It's interesting that Glenn has said before that he's not a fan of cyborgs in the game. Yeah. I don't blame him. I get it. I understand.
It's hard to implement.
I agree. But I think they can still do it. I do. I really firmly believe in that, like, in a different mode. Ladder can be ladder, and it's fine. You can have a third mode, or if you want to implement it in Conquest, whatever. But I find it weird that he's, I wouldn't say vehemently against it. He said he's one person, he can be swayed.
Okay.
And his thought can be overcome. That was his exact answer.
Let's go. Yu-Gi-Oh! Style special summon boards.
Right.
He can pull stuff over.
But it's weird that they aren't a fan of the idea of sideboards, yet they seemingly like the idea of making cards sideboard cards. Because Leech, like it or not, is straight up a sideboard card.
Right.
And I like that if we had sideboards. I would love this Leech change if we had sideboards, because I'd be like, yeah, I could fit him in my three card sideboard. Right?
Yeah.
I like that.
Like Rogue is right there.
Right. And I'm all for Echo. Having narrower stylization of counterplay
Echo,
if
Ghost.
I have a better way of bringing them in.
Yeah.
Just as it stands right now, why run Ghost in any deck that isn't benefiting it directly? Why run
or Echo? Like Echo is like one of the most egregious ones, right?
Yeah. Like I just, every time I'm making a deck and someone's like, Echo? And I'm like, I guess like maybe 40% of the time I'll see a card that I can hit, but really I'd rather just be offensive in my play than defensive on the off chance they run.
Well, listen,
like just some crazy person's like on turn five, I drop Echo flip and they're like, and just claw hits mid. And I'm like, whoa, like it's amazing. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm Florida, man. We go face.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't play Euro control, which is, you're in that stereotype, right? Like, you know, the American player's reputation is all aggro and the European stereotype is all control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's great.
Especially the audience up there. It's just like across all card games, that's like the personality stereotype.
But yeah, that's this card. How do you feel about Thanos, by the way, with the time stone thing or the mind stone? Like they got a 1-2 punch on Thanos the last couple weeks and
big changes to Thanos. It's kind of encouraging to see that they're not immediately going to Mockingbird and letting her cook a little bit. And just because Thanos got like such a good toy there, I think it's nice to try the changes in other places. Mind Stone on one and snap, like the turn one snap and you saw they were a Thanos deck was always like really annoying. And now that you take away this turn one power smack is great because it means they have to use one of their, like now Greenstone on one is actually your best stone, right? Because you get the draw and the discount immediately. You don't care about waiting.
Hey, maybe you'll draw Mind Stone.
And you might draw Mind Stone to be able to roll right into it, right? And then you get your big, cheap Mockingbird. So, no, I'm actually happy with this for, like, the longevity of the game and not seeing Thanos
just
realized, on the table. What'd
not
you say?
Only does this take away the turn one play, this takes away my favorite play in Thanos, which was
Mind
Stone on six.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
A one-cost draw, too, is pretty crazy.
Right.
And it brings down Thanos' Zoo as well with, like, Kazar.
Exactly, yeah.
Not by a lot, but obviously by a lot.
Thanos' Zoo just catches strays, right? And
yeah, I mean, it's the inferior version, but
any version of Thanos that isn't the version right now is the inferior version.
It's true. Like, Destroy Thanos had a little bit. Now that one's not it. And ongoing Thanos, not it right now. It's put your big boys down on the board. I am fascinated to think about what the Thanos matchup is going to be like once we get the Thunderbolt cards with all of the like pull the cheapest cards and some other stuff like that.
Do you, I want to do something real quick that okay. I thought I had an idea of it. Okay. Let's go to, I want to kind of pull up the team questions or whatever from the Discord. And I want to give our answers to them as well.
Okay.
Okay, see if we can interpret
things. Have you seen some
things.
Spicy ones?
There's always spicy ones. My favorite. So let's see. There was one about the Thanos problem, which was answered by Glenn. Thanos problem. Can I just put it in the browser?
Meanwhile, guys, every single week, Brad submits the Zabu problem. Glenn is like, ignore this guy. Brad has created multiple Discord accounts, but it still is not getting through.
All right. So this is the thing. Asked by Nick Prince. Go ask my question first, and then the explanation stuff later. The Secondary Balance team believe that Thanos' design and the Stone's design as an extension of that is inherently problematic for the game going forward. The OTA patch notes today said the Secondary does not think the Mind Stone change is likely to solve the Thanos problem, but that you're looking for a better solution. In other topics, Glenn has noted that new cards are more likely to end up in Thanos than other archetypes just because the archetype is so versatile, which is true. And obviously, after more or less 4 months, if Thanos is the best or one of the best decks, he's seen multiple nerfs and has not gone anywhere. However, last week's patch notes included this. Once we see how this change affects the Thanos decks, we'll look for the right spot to add back some of the strength we took away in previous patches. The change in tone between the two is really interesting to me, especially since it's only been a week from our perspective. And Glenn goes on to say, I might not go as far as to say that he's inherently problematic, but Thanos does provide us with a unique challenge due to his flexibility and strength. When we wrote the notes for Time Stone, we were worried it was slightly harsh, too harsh of a blow, as Thanos decks at the time played a lot more expensive cards and losing access to the energy would hurt that a lot. Demonstrating part of the challenge, Thanos adapted in such a way that the Time Stone change stopped being much of a nerf at all, which is true.
By adapted, it means it ran Mockingbird.
It gained, gained a card.
Obviously, just a great tool that it wanted to run anyway. Just kind of broke the shackles of the old meta just a little bit faster. I mean, I don't think it's inherently problematic. I think that part of the problem is that its natural predators have never been good or have actually been made worse, like Hawk. Used to be kind of the natural predator to Thanos. If you were playing the Dark Hawk deck, which was quite good, and then you managed that Thanos matchup, you're like, I got this guy. And as a Thanos player, you knew that you were in trouble and you had to like add tech cards just to like for that matchup and stuff. But now with Blob and just him not being around, you're fine. You get to run it for free basically.
It's not even just Blob. It's just the simple fact that Thanos is so good about putting large cards. They have access to Devil Dino. Mockingbird now is essentially a 1/9 at times. You have Scar in certain versions of the deck. That's just a 4/11 or 2/11. Cull Obsidian is a 4/10. Blob is a minimum of 6/15. Like, you have all these cards that are just really good at just saying, yeah, sure, you inherently counter my deck in a way, but I can either Shang-Chi it or I can just go bigger because you got one Hawk. Yeah. I got six cards that go minimum 8 or 9 power.
Yeah, and it used to be you would much more consistently have two Hawks with the cheaper Hawk, and now you really don't. You get one. So that, I think that's part of the equation, is that the counters to Thanos aren't there in the meta or just have actually been nerfed, because you also have Killmonger. Well, what? They run Kyera. Like, what are you going to do?
And even now, I think the Stones are more so not as important as they used to be of sticking on the board. Soulstone is nice to have, but I've seen plenty of times where players just they get a Killmonger from Camp Lehigh and they're just like, yeah, I'll sack my Soulstone. That's fine. I can, generate the power elsewhere.
Yeah. Open up other play patterns. So,
yeah. So that one's always interesting to me. I don't know. Thanos is a weird thing. There was,
Like him because the stones provide such interesting play patterns. It's just that his brute force power generation is so high that he's not actually a high skill ceiling deck right now. It's not like Loki, where Loki is pretty high skill ceiling deck. I feel like Thanos should be in that spot with how he plays, but is just brute force too much right now.
So this one has no response. Let's answer for them, okay?
Okay.
Let's find some ones that don't have a response, because you see, here's a response here, response here.
No.
They just kind of conveniently skipped this one and a couple other ones. Anyway, we recently haven't had any in terms of Series 4 releases. Is this just random long stretch between them, or is it the way it's going to be moving forward? If so, why? Yep. What goes into deciding which series to release a card into?
Money. Money goes into it. Have you scrolled through your shop recently? How many bundles are for gold and how many are for real money? A lot are for just straight up real money, not gold bundles. Like,
and the gold bundle that recently came out was 2,200 gold, and it was really bad value.
That one, and it was brutal because gold. They gave us a gold pass. They were like, hey, do you want to trade real money for gold? Okay, now what do I do with my gold? Nothing?
They're for albums now, baby.
Yeah, fill your albums. Which, to be fair, if you look at the album rewards, it's good, but it's nowhere near like a good exchange. Like, it's not a reason to chase the albums, but if you're naturally filling one out, you do get a nice shot in the arm.
I was pleasantly surprised because my friend said, oh, there's a Max Greki takeover or whatever. I'm like, yeah, the album just came out, I guess. He's like, yeah, I had like three of them. And I was like, whatever. And I'm like, no, he had two and he bought one just to get the third one. And I was like, I'll go check because I hadn't logged in for that day. And I just randomly had six. And I was like, I didn't buy a single one of these. I've pulled all of them.
Exactly.
And he's like, all right, congrats. You just got free 2,000 tokens. I was like, I'll take it.
That feels nice. Like, that kind of pattern feels good. If you tie even more on the albums to like that art progression, so you're constantly like picking what variants you want to invest in, and then that is fueling other resources, that would be great. But I think they're also hoping to have, instead of just one series drop a year, two series drops a year. And so if everything just releases into S5, they want to cultivate S4 to be worse cards than S5. So rather than guessing when cards release and then balancing them later on, they just want everything in S5. Then they look at card performance, and then they bring stuff down into S4 that they want in S4.
How many cards dropped in the last series drop?
Not that many.
So let me look at this real quick. I think this is a problem. Let's talk about this really quick. So they said there's going to be one or two other series drops.
Well, yeah. So it boils down to, what do you think the price tag should be for staying series complete? Should people be able to be series complete if they buy the battle pass every season?
Yes. Frankly.
Okay. That's what I do.
And I think...
Okay, so I'm in a weird spot, right? Okay, full disclosure. As a content creator, they give me the $20 gold bundle every month.
That doesn't do anything for our progression. For
22,000 gold stockpiled. I have not been spending this gold. I buy the battle pass, not the premium battle pass, just the $10 battle pass every month. I'm series complete, and I have not put additional funds into the game for a very long stretch of time. I've transitioned from full-time content creation to a different main career path. So I'm just keeping up with the battle pass, and I am collection complete, and there's not really an end to my resources in sight right now. So I'm basically doing it, even with all S5s.
Chris and I talked about this on the last episode of Snap on Ego. We agree that there's like a certain point, like this plateau point, in which when you... Because I also haven't been spending nearly as much in the game as I used to. I would get like, you know, I would try to get like all the bundles when they came out. And now I just get like, if it's good value, I might get it, or if it's really cheap. Like, I got the Sentry one because it was $20 and I thought the value was decent, and I wanted a Sentry variant that I liked. I didn't like
it. It looks so good.
So I was like, cool, let's go
with that. There is serious bundle fatigue. Like, they've given us so many bundles.
Right.
It's exhausting. And then you have to evaluate the value of every single one. Like, I wish the bundles were just like either like the super whale status item, like, oh, that was the 150 bundle. That's like the ultra rare variant. Or they were very cheap, like max value. And so like once a season, you'd be like, ah, do I buy the bundle for $5 because it gives me so much? Well, maybe I do. I wish it was more like that than all this mid-pricing stuff that's just...
But you reach this certain point of like a plateau where like I stockpiled enough tokens. Like I got Cannonball with tokens. I didn't even bother using caches.
I used one key. I got lucky.
Well, good for you. I just didn't. I don't like any of the variants in this week or next week, for that matter. So I know. Crazy, right?
Did you see the Kitty Pride?
I have the Pirate Kitty Pride. I never need a Kitty Pride. I'll never need it. I like the Pirate one a lot.
Have you clicked on it to show it what it is when it's animated and the rain is falling?
Yes, I do that.
And you feel
I do
sad
that
inside?
Every time by default.
It made me feel something.
Do not. Do not cite the sacred text to me, which I was there when it was written. But yeah, like I don't care for any, like, let's look real quick. Like let's look at the variants for this month.
The bubblegum Ms. Marvel was like meh for sure.
I clicked on this. Let's go there. Cool. So that one, don't care. I have Peach Momoko and I have Rian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Cannonball, a better one came up in my shop today and I got that. This one here for 700. No, yeah. So I'm fine. I don't need
that was the
mix. And the Kitty Pryde, cool. I like it. It looks nice, but again, I have the Thief Pirate one and I love it. It's so goofy. It's so silly. What do you think she's got in there? She got gold in there. She got trinkets. Like what's going on? What do you got in there? I like
that's it. That's the Lucky that's an egg, I think.
Oh yeah.
Stole the dragon egg.
I also have this one. I have this one. And I have, I think this one. Like, I have three other ones that are also fine.
I've got a bunch right now.
I'm not going to use them.
I actually like the Stormbreakers one a lot.
Also, this is the third spotlight. Fourth. This is the fourth spotlight cash variant for Kitty Pryde. I don't need any more.
She's been in a lot, and it's been a while since she's been good. So,
yeah. So, my point is, like, I don't need any of the variants here. So, and next week, the Silver Samurai, don't care. War Machine,
nope.
Don't care. The Silk, meh. I have the other Spotlight Silk, this one, which I love. As far as I'm concerned, this
sounds
is
really
the
good.
Base art. This is the base art. When I see the actual base art, I'm like, huh. Because I don't see it often.
No.
I see the other one. So
yeah,
what I'm saying is like, I have 40 plus thousand tokens stockpiled and I have like 16 caches.
Crazy.
Like I don't need to invest in the game right now.
Yeah.
To like do anything. But with that being said, if you look, this is how many in a row? Six. 6, 12, 18, 24, 30, 36. There are 36 cards in Series 5.
Yeah.
If we only get, like Steven said, one or two more series drops for the year, and they drop 5 while we're gaining, as it stands right now, because we haven't gotten a Series 4 card in a hot minute.
Yeah.
And all the data mine suggests all the future cards are also Series 5. So we gain, let's say the next series drop is in summer, like either May or June.
Yep.
So let's say June. So that means we have April, May, and that's 10 more Series 5 cards, right?
Yep.
And then June rolls around. That's 15 they drop. So we went up from 36 to 51 and they dropped 5 cards. And now we've still gone up like 9 cards in Series 5, even with the drop.
They're going to have to drop way more.
It's not sustainable.
If they're going to follow that pattern.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. It's really not. And
I
that's not even
like
talking about
monthly,
Series 4.
I liked the monthly series drop
thing.
I did too. Like, I felt like it generated hype. Like, people were always talking about what was dropping and like what they were looking forward to dropping. And I thought that was just like a fun conversation and like a healthy spot for the game.
The last Series 4 card was Meek.
Yeah.
When did he come out? Release date. Or isn't there a release date? Yeah. Released in January.
Very beginning of the year. Now we're in a new age.
I don't, and then even then we had Havoc, Martyr, Man-Thing, Mobius. Like Mobius was September, right?
Yeah, so it was kind of spread out one a season.
Yeah,
but that was back when you only got four total cards instead of 5.
So getting five and they're all series 5.
That's the thing, is it's 5 and all series 5.
They can't maintain this.
Well,
like this, okay. Is it weird of me to say that it feels like we're approaching like the bubble of like the housing market collapsing type of thing with like 2008 recession style stuff with
Snap's economy? In terms of Series 5 releases, they're releasing too fast?
Right.
So like, I do agree. I kind of wish that
instead of... There should be two Series 4 a month.
Would no, what I would, well, yes. Yes and no. That would be great if it was two series for a month. It would also be great if maybe one was just free.
Right.
You had all these new ones that are series 5, the one series 4, and then one that is general access, like true free-to-play, just straight to free-to-play, straight to streaming. Or if they just bottled up these additional cards, and every 6 months they did like a full pack release.
They won't. They already don't.
Just
like
when they released that. Series 4 and 5 starters. Like, I wish that they did like some packs like that, because yeah, it's like it's a lot of fatigue to keep up with the weekly releases, and then you get people burned out, and then they leave the game, and then they play other games, and they realize those games are also fun, and then they don't come back.
Or they want to come back a month down the road, and then they feel left behind because
how do I keep up with all these S5s?
Exactly, and the returning for new players, or I guess returning players. Sorry, there's no help. There's no incentive. There's no like.
No, the help was series drops. That was the catch-up mechanic.
Yeah, but and then
and they're like, we're not going
to
do that.
But
anymore.
Now they can't. Even if they do 10 cards each drop, they have to also drop 4 to 5, 4 to 3. So 5 and 5 and 5 and 4. Like that's like those are the drops, right? Like 10. Kind of. But that's still not enough. You need to drop like 20 cards to keep up if you're doing it once or twice a year. Actually, if you're doing it once or twice a year, you need to drop like almost 25, 30 cards per drop. Like massive, insane drops.
I mean,
but they'll never do that.
I'm kind of getting to the point that like Series 3 should just be all free. Like, hey, they're all unlocked. You don't pay anything for Series 3.
Because the bloat of Series 3 is already really insane for those kind of players. And then now, like, I don't know, like, the long-winded way of putting it is their philosophy. So something's got to break. Either the economy breaks and it causes the game to eventually fail, right? Or their philosophy of no complete collections needs to break. Because what should be unique with your collection? Because they want everyone to have unique collections. The unique collection should be your variants and your splits. That should be what your unique collection is. Not the cards or the game pieces themselves.
Yeah, no, that's what I like. I mean, obviously there are some games where your collection truly is unique. But that's like Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh! With thousands.
Not even that, to be honest. Like
in the catalog.
Like your collection in real life and paper might be unique in a sense, but like digitally.
Your meta deck is the same.
Yeah, everyone's playing what's
when
in
you
the
go
meta.
To the tournament is you don't get surprised by anybody.
Right. Like, unless they bring deck. Out they bring out their random 5-cost disgusting card you've never heard of from Khan's block back in like 2007, and you're like, why is that in your sideboard? And you're like, it's for the grindy matchups. Like that's the only time you'll ever
right.
be
it's,
like
it's something like that. It's something like that, right? So yeah, the release is getting a little bit tiring, but then again, I love hopping on stream every week to test the new cards.
Right. I'm not getting when, fatigued from Teddy the game itself.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, I worry a little bit for the way the economy is, because it's just one of those has got to give eventually. Either the economy has to vastly improve to make it, you know, somewhat possible to be collection complete. Like even at this point, you can't even be collection complete without dropping any kind of money beyond the season pass. And even that, like drop, even if you're like a dolphin and you spend a little bit of money a month, you get the season pass every month, and then you get like a bundle or two a month. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Even that doesn't even get you close to series, like to being complete. Like I feel
like it does though. Like I'm doing it. Like I buy
you've
the
already
season
stockpiled
pass.
All this extra stuff from your previous larger spending.
I mean, yes, but I mean, my stockpile is not that high. I have 4 caches right now and I have 9,000 tokens. And I've been at about that level for several seasons now, but it's stayed pretty equilibrium. 10,000 tokens right now. Now I have all this gold that I would be able to tap in if I needed to. I'm just waiting for a good bundle.
If they add to the shop a way to spend gold for straight up tokens, do you think that's an appropriate way to have your gold spent? Because then technically you can spend gold for game pieces.
I mean, it's Token Tuesdays. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying like the same thing as like you can spend 400 gold to get 500 credits, right? Or 1200 gold to get like 1200 credits, right? Or 2000 credits, whatever it is. They do the same thing, but it's tokens. You drop X amount of gold and that gives you, they just have it based on like 1000, 3000, 6000 or your three
How
options.
Is this different than Token Tuesdays?
Because they would have it, they would always be available.
Okay.
And it's just there.
So you could do it more often.
And they would probably just not have Token Tuesdays anymore. They would replace it.
I love Token Tuesdays. Well, I buy that because they don't give me any other gold bundles.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, I haven't bought Token Tuesdays in a while, but I did
for
a long time there.
Because they haven't been very good in a while.
But yeah.
And then these 4U bundles are awful.
4U, spend $30 for a premium mystery variant. What?
Yeah, I had one that was $50 and it was 6,000 tokens and a premium mystery variant. Someone's like, isn't that a good deal? I'm like, yes, within the confines of the Snap economy,
right?
Technically speaking, they've established $100 is around the amount for a Series 6 card or Series 5 card for 6,000 tokens. So technically speaking,
I thought it was like 50, but okay.
It's been 100 for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is crazy. And they've had some things recently that's kind of leaned towards 50, but for the last year, it's been consistently, it's been 100. Now, if it shifts back to 50, cool. But then at that point, the way you could kind of put it in perspective is like, would you like one new shiny card in Marvel Snap for $50? Or would you like Helldivers 2 and $15 left over to go see?
I was waiting for you to say Helldivers,
to go see, because I know that one's 35 bucks. And then you have 15 bucks left over and you can go see Dune 2. Look at that.
Exactly. Me and Teddy Wife are going to see Dune 2 for the second time in IMAX here, coming up.
I have not seen it yet at all.
Oh, no.
I'm probably going to go this weekend.
Did I tell you that I saw it in the 4D theater, which was amazing?
No, but that does sound cool.
If there's a 4D theater around you, I highly recommend. They're equipped with, like, air guns in your seat.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah,
for
they
action,
make you there.
You'll get, like, blasts of air for, like, bullets flying past your ears. It's really good.
I remember, I think it was Shrek, like, 4D. Over at like Universal had and there's a scene where like rats are running like on the ground.
Yes.
They're like, and like they had like all the air hitting you and it felt like rats running by your legs. Yeah. Like that's sick.
That's the great. Memorable moments in cinema. Shrek 4D, baby.
Yeah.
Peak American culture.
I love Universal. I got an email from Universal today being like, hey, if you want 300 bucks off these season passes, we got you for a limited time. And I'm like, damn, you're really making this tempting, huh?
Yeah.
I love Universal. I will always say, if someone's trying to choose between Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure for seasonal passes versus Disney, please just choose Universal Islands of Adventure. It's so much better.
I kind of agree, but I mean, I understand the properties. If the properties are really swaying you, but for a season pass,
the rides are better. The rides are better. The Harry Potter stuff is better.
So good.
The Marvel side's great.
Awesome.
The medieval side, which is pretty much Harry Potter now, but there's still a little bit of that left over with like what's it called? Where he's like, give me that trident. It's like a walkable show.
It is. That's that part, like the prehistoric era, is like completely empty. There's like a couple of restaurants and shops, but there's no rides. The rides are all closed.
Yeah, it's just the walkthrough like show that where he's like, it's Poseidon fighting someone else. That's like,
That was even running when I went.
It has to still be. There's no way.
Okay, well.
Do not great movie ride me, Teddy, because that I can't lose two of my childhood rides back to
back. It wasn't there when I was there.
Also, why would I go back to Disney if the great movie ride's not even there anymore? Why did they get rid of it? It's the best ride.
They had to put something else in place with a nice screen and cute, chibi characters.
This makes me so sad. All right, I have nothing
else
to talk about for Snap.
Gusts.
I think we're good. We went over OTA, how bad the economy is. We still like the game.
For the record, I think the economy is like not as bad as some people cry about. Like I feel like I keep up okay, and especially if you're willing to pass on like one card a month, you can definitely do it.
Yeah, but if you want to be serious, complete, good luck. I eventually will reach a point where I can't be serious complete. I know that's eventually going to happen. We'll see.
Wow.
I just think that's where it's heading. Like the extra card a month and the way all of Series 5 is like, it's unsustainable.
Captain Ishmael came out and killed the whale in you.
Yeah. Also, like
War Machine coming out. Are you? Where do you think War Machine falls?
War Machine is the next Supergiant. What I mean by that is,
ouch.
I know.
War Machine potential, but it's gonna fall through.
Well, very simply, it's gonna be a very strong card, simply because of the thing with Infinite and Ebony Maw.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's gonna make it very strong. But here's the thing. Do you know why you don't see Supergiant anymore, Teddy?
Why don't I see Supergiant anymore?
Because you play her on turn four, your opponent's like, oh, I don't have priority. All right, bye. Yeah. Eliath. I don't want to know. No, thank you. Yeah. When I see someone drop War Machine on five, I'll be like, does Infinite win them this game? Yeah. See ya.
They're going to play him on top of Hope on five to be able to have seven energy for both Ebony Maw and Infinite. Good night.
Yeah, if you see Hope on three, War Machine on, or Hope on four, War Machine on five.
I mean, yeah, whatever combo.
You could also do Hope on three, War Machine on four,
yep.
Infinite on five, and then Taskmaster on six, plus Ebony Maw.
Or Zola.
Or Zola, yeah. Or Zola. Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dodge the Shang-Chi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
That's
so
like
when
Sarah
you see,
level, or sorry, Shuri level of like, oh, are they going to do this? Or are they going to do this?
It's going to be a combo deck is what the best version of War Machine
on
is.
Two. And that means that Infinite's not going down.
Yeah, they also can. Then you can't Zol it, but yeah, that's fine. Also, yeah, does this just replace Shuri?
Kind of,
because you don't You don't need to. Like, you could run Cosmo too, and not need to run Sauron. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So, War Machine's just gonna be that card you see played, and you're like, yeah, no thanks, and you retreat. And War Machine's going to be a fun card and cool card, and it might be a mainstay in Lockdown, perhaps, to like, oh, they won the Storm Lane that I made. I want to get it back. Sure. But for the most part, I think the best home for it is a combo deck in which you just win by playing big old Infinite for free.
That is part of the wild thing, is it's like, it's one-sided. This is not Snow Hawk, where it's both-sided. Like,
correct.
The Storm Lane is open to you, but not for them. So it would be the Pro X. Oh, I did like Pro X on four. I whiffed? Well, War Machine on five. Okay.
Yep.
That's the meme. I can drop back with my BS.
Yeah. I can drop Infinite. Let's say you turn, like you Storm.
No, but
then...
you don't have to care about Infinite. You could drop anything, right?
No,
it's
I know.
Renslayer into Blind Pro X into War Machine into Fix It.
Yeah. And then you're probably wanting to run things like, what's it called? Titania and like the Ravonna X deck I've showed you before. Mm-hmm. In that deck, that's great because you're. Oh, also, I like this in Zookula too.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, Zookula's cool because like you already run
instead of Dracula eating it, you could just play it
exactly, and you have a nice little pivot point. Or you can do both. You can play Dracula, and you can still have lines where you can play. Infinite, or you can still go like zero into Destroyer kind of stuff. Like, that's fine. Fun. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun card, but it's not going to be particularly amazing because you should retreat when they do the things.
So, I kind of got excited for it right now, though, just talking about all the stuff we could do.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
All right. Check out the streams. We're both going to be testing out the cards. We'd love to see you guys out there. Bring your theory crafting hats. And let us know what kind of deck you'd like to see us backseat game if you've been in on that Thanos video. Love to do that again and keep on polishing that format for you guys.
Yep. And you can go to check out early episodes or live episodes like some people are watching right now over on patreon.com/can'tstopsnapping. Remember, you can join without paying. You can just join the Patreon for free and you can decide if you want to upgrade to another tier later on. But you guys just being there in general helps a lot, gives us insight on what we want to do with the service and all that good stuff. And of course, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Let's help grow that a little bit more so we can give you guys best of both worlds and give a place for the Patreon bonus stuff to go live on. And with that, we love you and appreciate you, and we will see you next week. Teddy?
Don't stop snapping.
Can't Stop Snapping is a podcast hosted and produced by Brad Seffert and Teddy Ninja, originally created by Michael Thurman.